Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3. There is an outline on the middle fold of your bulletin, and there's some blanks to fill in there that might help you see the direction we're going this morning in the message. This belongs to the series Our Home, and a subset of that series, Reaching the Rebel. We've been looking at the kind of parent God uses in reaching rebellious, prodigal children. The kind of parent God uses. Let's ask his help. Dear Father, we all want to be good parents. We want our children to see that we love you, that we desire to walk with you, and the very best path in life is to walk with you. So I pray, dear Heavenly Father, there might be some helps here to parents that are still praying for reaching out toward children who are not walking with you yet. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to tell you about Mrs. Zeller. Mrs. Zeller was a godly man and was a godly lady, and her husband died quite young. So she brought up her two children by herself. Pat was the eldest and the girl, and Dan was the youngest. So they were both equally influenced by this godly lady, but Pat went straight and Dan rebelled. Without a husband in the home, she asked the Christian school principal if he would speak to Dan. And when that didn't make any effect, she asked the Bible study leader if he would talk to Dan. And then finally, Pat's husband, for Pat was now married, he also had a turn at talking to Dan. But none of this helped. Dan wasn't listening. So one day, Mum Zeller sat down with Dan and said, "When your father died, God became my husband, and he promises to be a father to the fatherless. Dan, you're not listening to me. You're not listening to godly men in your life. So I'm going to ask God as your father to spank you, and whatever he needs to do, because I'm out of options. God has promised to be my help, Dan." The result of that conversation was that Dan straightened up immediately. I guess Dan knew that if you put his mum and the Lord together, they were a formidable team. You see, though Dan was determined to go his own way, Mrs. Zeller had laid a foundation in Dan's life, a foundation from which she could rescue the rebel. What was that foundation? Well, we're coming to that. Whether we have a prodigal in our family or not, we need to be the kind of parent that God uses. We need to be that kind of parent before we ever have a rebellious child. And we need to be that kind of parent to a prodigal child. Last time we began to consider the kind of parent that God uses. And we learned as we looked at the Word of God last time, if a parent would seek to prevent rebellion or to rescue a rebel, they should be humble, admitting any deficiencies in their lives, their sin, their foibles. Secondly, that they should be loving in the way of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And thirdly, they should be wise, avoiding the two major pitfalls of being a controlling, overbearing parent or being an absent, permissive parent. Humble, loving, and wise. Today we're going to add three further characteristics of the parent that God uses. And our model here is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord Jesus is a perfect Lord and a perfect Savior. And yet the Lord had rebellious, prodigal churches. Churches that treated him just like a rebellious son or daughter treats their parents. So as Jesus Christ approaches and counsels one such prodigal church, he gives us a pattern for us as to how we can approach our prodigal children. Revelation 3:14-22 is going to be our text this morning. Now the first characteristic of a parent that God uses is a mature parent. A mature parent. We could say a godly parent, I guess. This is kind of a summary of what the parent is overall. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, first of all, the word translated angel there, agelos in Greek, is also translated messenger in a number of translations. Of course, it should be translated messenger. God doesn't write to angels. God speaks to angels. He writes to men. So who is this messenger of the church of the Laodiceans? The best conclusion is the pastor of the church, the one responsible for the state of the church. The pastor is to carry a message to his church from Jesus Christ, who this verse says is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, and he is the creator. The actual words here are the beginning or the cause of the creation of God. He is the creator himself. So the Lord Jesus Christ addresses this prodigal church out of who he is, out of his integrity. Now, the Lord Jesus is without sin. He is perfect, and no parent can ever be like that, of course. But if a parent is godly and mature in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're able to address any child out of the same kind of integrity that Mum Zeller or the Lord Jesus Christ addressed the church. Now, Dan did not show respect for his mum. He was doing his own thing. But as I said, Mrs. Zeller had laid a foundation in Dan's life. She was a godly lady, and he knew it. She had integrity. Dan was showing no respect for her, but he knew that she deserved his respect. And that's the foundation that needs to be laid. A parent that deserves, has earned the respect of the children. In another example, Ben was being a handful for his mum. Now, in his case, again, his mum was a godly lady, but the father didn't believe at all. And so Ben was getting a mixed message in his home. Ben was working and doing lots of wrong stuff. One small clue that his mum had was that he smelled of cigarette smoke when he came home. But when she challenged him about this, he denied the cigarette smoking. He denied that he was doing anything wrong. Ben's pastor talked to him, but without impact. So Mum confronted Ben again. A similar story to Dan's, isn't it? Ben said, "Mum, I might as well be honest with you. I don't even believe that there's a God." She replied, "Oh, Ben, it hurts me to hear you say that. But this is what I want you to do, Ben. Ben, I'm going to come down. I'm going to kneel down. I want you to kneel with me. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to do whatever he needs to do in your life." Ben said, "Oh, Mum, don't do that." And she said, "Aha, don't tell me you deny that there's a God." What we are saying here is that both these mums had integrity with their boys. They knew their mum was godly. They knew that their mum prayed and got answers to prayer. They knew mum and God was a team to be reckoned with. So whilst these rebels showed no respect, they did respect their mum underneath. That's the foundation that's needed. To reach the prodigal, to prevent the prodigal, we need that kind of respect. Now, none of us is perfect, but we need to be as mature and godly as we can be in Jesus Christ. Even perfect saviors have prodigal churches. So a parent is not always to be blamed for a prodigal. But the greatest influence will be when the rebellious child respects their parents underneath. Parents, you may not have been raised in a Christian home, but you've been a Christian for some time. And you should be experiencing victory in your Christian life. Dads, you shouldn't continue to be impatient. You should have victory over impatience. Mums, you shouldn't be bitter. You should have victory over bitterness. Angry parents are going to lose respect. Dads who are known to use pornography, obviously, are going to lose all respectability. Any patterns of sin in the parents will give the teen or the young adult the idea that Christ can't help, that the Christian life is not for real, that it doesn't work. So we need to be living in victory and in joy and showing them the joy of a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Last time we said the parent God uses should be humble, admitting their sin and inadequacies and our foibles, of course. But more than that, the parent God uses will be demonstrating victory over their sin bents. They will be mature and godly. Your impact on the prodigal flows out of who you are, just as Jesus Christ's impact on the church at Laodicea flowed out of who he was. We need to be disciplined followers of the Lord Jesus if we want our children to be disciplined followers of the Lord Jesus. Teens have fake detectors, don't they? They know if you're a phony. You know, they know if you don't really love the Lord Jesus. They know if you're half-hearted about your Christian experience. We need to humbly admit our sin, and then we need to have victory over our sin, to have maturity if we would impact any prodigal. Please review that message back in August when we talked about being humble and loving and wise in regard to our children. If we would want our prodigal to repent and forsake sin, then we must be living in a state that is crucified to the flesh, having victory over that sin. Dear parent, what do you need to change in your life to gain the respect of any prodigal? Is there something that you do need to change this morning? Something that you need to get right? Are you proud and always right? Are you and your wife working together in harmony? Are your standards godly? They know what the standards are in the home. Are you on fire for the Lord? Do they see that you love him? You love to spend time in his word. You love to draw close. You love to pray. To maximize the impact on your children, you need to be as mature as you can be in the Lord Jesus. The second characteristic of a parent that God uses is an understanding parent. Let's have a look at verse 15. Jesus says to this church, "I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot," and then Jesus gives a warning. Verse 17, he also says to them, "Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." So Christ confronts this church with what they are. The Lord Jesus knew well the Laodicean church. Now, of course, he is omniscient. He knows all things, and we are not. But if we are going to give helpful input into anyone's life, especially into a prodigal, a rebellious son or daughter, then we need to have the best understanding of their situation that we can possibly have. A Christian uni student had been immoral with her boyfriend over the summer break. She went to a pastor. She was humbled and ashamed. He asked her, "When was it that you started running from God?" And she said, "Well, it was about 3 years ago when I felt the Lord was calling me into missions, and I just didn't want to do that." When the pastor asked if she was ready to put things right with the Lord, she repented then and there. So the pastor said, "I better call your dad." And she wasn't too keen about that. She said, "My dad's going to have a hard time with this," meaning the immorality. And he did. He called his daughter's names that a father should never call his daughter. His attitude was angry and bitter. The pastor was, of course, was concerned with the father. He could tell that the father wasn't connecting. The pastor said to her dad, "If this is your attitude, you may well lose your daughter, because you don't have a clue about what her real problems and real issues are." He said, "She's been running from God, and now she is restored. There ought to be rejoicing. Of course you might have to put restrictions on her. She's got a life right with God, and this is a time to rejoice." Well, how well would you say that you understand your prodigal? If the rebel says, "You just don't understand," then say, please help me to understand what I've missed. I want to understand. I'm listening. If the rebel is very emotional, it's wise to listen. We can say to them, you can say what you need to say. You can say it with emotion, but please be respectful to Mum and I. Please be respectful to the Lord. Have enough understanding to address patterns and the real issues, the real heart problems. For example, an untidy room is not the Lord's major concern. The Lord's major concern is a teen living for themselves. That's the heart issue. And Jesus dealt with the heart issues here with the Laodiceans. He said, you're lukewarm. This is a heart issue. You've lost your love for me like the other church. A rebel pleasing self is the real issue that God would want addressed. And anyone that's in rebellion is not showing love for God. The love for God, the love for Mum and Dad are the real issues that need to be addressed. Don't nitpick over everything. Seek to understand and then deal with the heart issues, just as Jesus did. Let's read verse 15 again. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. That's the heart issue at Laodicea. The last characteristic of a parent that God uses is an active parent. Of course, foremost, the parents should be active in prayer. They should be praying and praying for their rebellious young adult or teen. When a parent is hurt, it may be easier to withdraw, but it's far better for that parent to keep being active in that young person's life in a number of ways. First, the parent should be actively seeking repentance. Verse 17, because you say I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Rebellion is sin. Rebellion is very serious sin. Rebellion against parents and God is serious sin. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23 says, for rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. So if a rebel decides to come home, you just can't go on and play happy families as if nothing's happened. Confession is needed. Forsaking the sin is needed. And forgiveness is needed. Jesus says to the lukewarm, unsaved Laodiceans that he will vomit out of his mouth. He says in the second part of verse 19, therefore be zealous and repent. That word zealous means be passionate. Make this your heart desire. Be zealous about putting things right. I made some bad mistakes is not confession. It's not good enough. I'm sorry I hurt you. It's not confession. That is not good enough. You must confess the sin. You must name it and agree that it was sin against God and home. Jesus taught into this moment with the Laodiceans. He said in effect in verse 18, the true riches are to be made beautiful in the fire of affliction. Go after those riches to be made like the Lord Jesus Christ. The best garment is the garment of righteousness, and that is granted to those who come to the Lord Jesus, confess their sin, and are clothed in his righteousness alone. The best sight is to see the spiritual, not to see the sights of the world, but to see spiritually and to know spiritual truth and to know God. Go after that. Okay, the parents should be actively seeking that the prodigal repent. Son, you need to put things right. Daughter, are you ready to put things right with the Lord? Would you like to get things right with God right now? And the point we've been making this morning is that warnings and rebuke are most effective when they come from a parent that has integrity because they've lived a godly life in the home. Now, a parent can't discipline a teen, young adult, the way they would a child. But they are not without means. And I'd just like to mention some of those means in provoking the rebel to repentance. If the rebel is still living at home, there may need to be loss of freedoms. Maybe loss of car, loss of phone, loss of going out. I'm probably talking about a younger person here. If they do not respond there may need to be loss of relationships, restriction from friends, a restriction from brothers and sisters who are being negatively influenced. And eventually, and sadly, a prodigal may need to be put out of the home. That is a very radical step and last resort. But remember that God also sent his people to the Babylonians. Sometimes they just have to go out in the world and see how bad it is before they realize how good it is with the Lord Jesus. Okay, there may be loss of freedoms and fellowship in provoking a prodigal to repentance, but there should never be loss of love. They should always know that they are loved by their parents. They should always know if they want to get things right, they can come home. Keep emphasizing, I'm not irritated, I'm grieved. I don't want you to destroy your life like this. Second, whilst the parent actively seeks repentance from their rebel, they should be actively seeking relationship. Seeking repentance, seeking relationship. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Jesus makes it clear that he loves the Laodiceans yet. And we're to make sure that we love any child that is going the wrong way. That is why I rebuke you, he says to them, because I love you. That is why I discipline you, to provoke you, to return, to come back to me. I won't force myself on you, Jesus says to this church, but I want a relationship with you. He's standing at the door knocking. He's not forcing, but he's standing at the door knocking. I won't force myself on you, but I want a relationship with you. And I want you to open up your heart and your life to me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Thus the parent is longing to forgive. He's longing to hear those words of confession so that they can forgive and so that that child will come back into relationship with them and they'll be able to have fellowship again. They want to bless their child as the Lord Jesus wanted to bless this church at Laodicea. Verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So let me tell you a couple of stories and you can seek to apply this to your own situation. One family had a rebellious son. The dad realized that he'd done a lot wrong. So first of all, he got right what the best he knew how, everything in his own life. And then he started to deal with his son. However, the son didn't respond. In their home, they had a curfew. But the son regularly ignored the curfew. He didn't ring home and say when he was going to be late for tea. So the tea would be waiting there and spoiled. And he was coming home very late at night. It wasn't just breaking the family rules that the parents were concerned about. It was what he was doing when he was out all those hours of the night. So the dad, as we suggested, started to remove freedoms. First, he blocked the son's phone. It made no difference. So they sold the car that they'd given to him. It made no difference. He kept pushing the limits. The dad said kindly to his son, "Son, don't push me." And because he kept coming home late for meals, not phoning, he said, the prepared food is for those that are in fellowship with this family. Mum will leave your food in the fridge, but you're going to have to cook it for yourself. And then he said, when that made no difference, son, more is coming. One night the boy came home and he found the locks had been changed on the doors and he couldn't get in. The next morning, the dad went out to find him outside, this time broken by his foolishness. Now, for this kind of stuff, the parent needs integrity. Otherwise, it's just going to push the children further away, going to annihilate. Why should I bother about them? And they'll go their own way. They need to know they're loved. They need to know that mum and dad are longing for them. But it worked. He came to repentance without fights, without hard words, any nastiness. The dad actively sought repentance. In another situation, a pastor was counseling the parents of a prodigal. The parents got things right in their own lives and the home began functioning properly. The wife told the pastor, incredulous, "Now my son sits down with me. He wants to talk. I have a new son." Now that happened purely in response to parents putting things right. When one of the boy's mates started going off the rails, the boy said to his parents, "Can you talk to his parents? Those parents need whatever the pastor did with you." It's not always so easy, and I mention again, just because there's rebellion does not necessarily mean that the parents have anything to get right. But on the other hand, none of us are perfect. We probably do have some stuff to put right. I know that since my boys left home, I continually see things in my life that I still need to be getting right. Areas that the Lord Jesus Christ is chipping away. Other areas where I need to draw closer to Him. And God has shown much grace to me and my family, and we praise God for that. But surely we all have things to be putting right. One dad told a visiting speaker of the sorry story of his daughter. He summarized the whole story by saying, "We brought her up in the church, but we did not bring her up in Christ." These need to be lived at home. Humility, love, wisdom, integrity, and understanding. They've all got to be lived at home. If it's just church, it's not enough. If it's just the home, it's not enough. The home was the plan of Jesus Christ, and the church was the plan of Jesus Christ, and both are needed. They need to see Christianity works in the home, and they need to see mum and dad serving and how to serve in the church. They need to see that Christianity works. So let's pray for each other. If you have a prodigal, I know that you're hurting. That's why we've taken this time to speak on this today, and I pray it helps. But if there's some area where you're still wondering about or something you'd like me to address, I'd be pleased to hear if there's something further that needs to be discussed. Let's pray for each other, and let's pray that these children would come to Christ and be saved. So I want to do something a little bit different as we move to the Lord's table this morning. What I'd like us to do is to apply, I've chosen a hymn today that is not usually used around the Lord's table. But the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us by his blood. And we want to pray that his blood is applied to these children that need to come to Christ. We want to thank him for our salvation and we want to pray for theirs. So I want to bring both together in this hymn this morning. I think we might sing the hymn through both times, both before and after the message. One church, what they did, they had a cross at the front and they asked parents who had prodigals to write down the name of this prodigal on a piece of paper and bring it and leave it at the cross. I don't think we need to do that, but we're coming to the Lord's table and let's together bring the names of any children we want to see go on for Christ. Let's bring them before the Lord as we come around his table. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for these. Let's pray that they come home. We want to bring the prodigals home. So we're going to sing, "Bring them in, hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear out in the desert, dark and drear." We'll sing all three verses, and I'll ask Jono and Glenn if they could assist me around the Lord's table. That's our prayer. Bring them in. Bring them in from fields of sin. Bring the wandering ones to yourself, dear Lord Jesus. We pray for your glory. Amen.